Then please to the first book of Samuel and chapter number 3. Chapter number 3, please, of the first book of Samuel. And we'll read at verse number 1. 1 Samuel, chapter number 3, and reading at verse number 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli, and said, Here am I, and for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli, and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning the house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel, and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. One verse, please, in the last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12 and verse number 11. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies. Now God will bless the public reading of the sacred scriptures to us this afternoon. As we addressed our attention yesterday afternoon to these opening chapters of the book of Samuel, we saw that the problems in Israel were broadly divided into threefold. There was, we indicated in chapter number 1, division in the house, and then we saw that there was defilement in the temple, and lastly we saw that there was defeat in the battlefield. And we saw that as the man Samuel, or the boy Samuel, was God's answer to each of these problems. In the house he brought peace. In the house of God, in the temple, he brought priestliness, and on the battlefield he brought power. And so this afternoon I want to address our attention to this third little chapter that is a veritable oasis in a somewhat barren situation that is found in the nation of Israel. Here is where God speaks and where God acts. Here is where all that Samuel has hoped, or all that Hannah rather has hoped, is about now to be seen to be the will of God and to be marked with promise of later fruition. I want to look at three things this afternoon, because particularly again, I'm speaking to my young brethren and to my young sisters. And particularly again, I want you to see that in 1 Samuel 3, despite everything, God is interested in one boy at Shiloh. God lays his hand on one individual at Shiloh. At this time of conference, I'm speaking to young brethren and sisters. I'm looking at you from the platform. If the Lord does not come, and by God's grace are preserved, I don't know how many of you will ever go on for God. I'm speaking to some, no doubt, who will be abject failures. I'm speaking to some, no doubt, who will go on and be a power for God. I'm asking you today to be like Samuel and to grasp the issues of spiritual life so that you are an overcomer and that you live and you work for the Christ who saved you by dying at Calvary. I don't know where you'll go. It may be you're at the conference and your interest in spiritual things is shallow. I want to say this. There are three decisions an individual is faced with. The decision whether it will be heaven or whether it will be the lake of fire. That's decision number one. Has everyone made that decision for salvation? Has everyone got Christ as Savior? If not, you can get saved in this ministry meeting this afternoon. That's the first decision. Then, having accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, will it be a carnal Christian or will it be a Christian interested in spiritual things? Where are you going? Carnality or spirituality? But there's another decision. If you're going to be interested in spiritual things, will it be shallow things, weak things, powerless things, modern things, or will it be the deep things of God? Young brother, young sister, I'm appealing to you to be interested not in the shallow, second-rate, second degree Christianity of our present generation, but to go in for what many dear saints enjoy, the real deep things of God, such as Samuel. I want you to see three things about him this afternoon. I want you to see, first of all, his consecration as a young man. And then I want you to see his call as a young man. And then I want you to see with you his confirmation in the service of God. Firstly, let us address our attention to his consecration. And the child, the boy Samuel, ministered unto the Lord before Eli. The boy. I said it yesterday, I say it again. You don't wait until you're 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 to become interested in the things of God. Young men and women, listen to this. There is nothing more tragic than seeing in an assembly folks who have never really been interested in the Scriptures and who come to the age of 40-odd and think as brethren they should be overseers simply because age gives them the prospect of what they see as promotion. Nothing more tragic handling a Bible of which they are ignorant. Swayed by every wind of modern teaching. Says the word of God, we read from Ecclesiastes, the words of the wise are as goads and as nails. What is the scripture to do? It's to be a goad. You know what a goad is? A goad stimulates. The scriptures are to stimulate you. Go from this conference stimulated by the scriptures. But the words of the wise are not only God, they are nails. They are to stimulate and to stabilize. The nail stabilizes. I don't hammer many in. My wife's pretty good at it. I don't go in for that. But I tell you, when she hammers the nail in and it goes, and it stabilizes. Young brother, young sister, we want the scripture to stimulate you and to stabilize you. Thus we turn to 1 Samuel 3. I want you to notice four things about the word of the Lord in the early life of this man called Samuel. First of all, it says that the word of the Lord was precious. There was no open vision. It tells me that the word of God was dear, it was rare. I want you to value Scripture as being something that's dear, that's rare, that's precious. Do you value the Word of God? You say, preacher, you told us about the Scriptures yesterday. Praise God I didn't, I'm going to tell you again. Because I want to drive the message home. And it's a burden in my heart. Let me say it again. Occupy yourself with the Scriptures of truth. Immerse yourself in them. Read them. Get to know them. This book has the answer to every circumstance in life. And so the Word of God, first of all, was precious. But the Word of the Lord came to Samuel. And I want you to see that the Word of the Lord was not only precious, but the Word of the Lord was personal. Do you read Scripture? Is it a dry book? Young man said to me in Newcastle, that's out in England. He said to me, you know, I don't read the Bible because it's boring. I said, well, there's a bit of a problem there. If you don't read it, how do you know it's boring? You know, it seemed to me not right. He said, well, I don't read it because it just looks boring. I said, what do you mean, the cover or the back or the front? What does it look like? You see, it always will be boring if you don't get into it. Get into the book and you'll become addicted to it. It will become something you can't put down. It will fascinate you. It will attract you. And there'll be no greater pleasure than reading it and getting to know the God behind the book. And so the Word of God was personal. Young believer, lift the Scriptures. And don't lift the Scriptures to gather sermons. If you're only going to gather sermons, sit in your seat and don't bother your wee head. It'll be no good to man. I was going to say man or beast, but it'll be no good to anybody anyway. You get into the book to get to know the Scriptures. It is God's handbook, and you can't serve Him without knowing Him, and you can't serve Him without knowing the book. It is personal for you. And I learned a lesson many years ago, and it was just this. When the teaching of a brother cut across my life, I immediately resented it. And I said, that brother's too strict, or too something, or too, you know. And you know, it was always that brother was, until it dawned on me, the problem wasn't the brother, the problem was me. And if you say today, that teaching's too strict, or anything like that, I say, turn it back in yourself. The Scripture was precious, and the Scripture was personal. I want you to see thirdly, please, that the Word of the Lord was persistent. Four times. Samuel, 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 and then that double use of the word. Go through and find how many folks in the Bible were addressed by divine persons by the use of the double use of their name. Samuel, Samuel. You're sitting in the conference today. You're saved by God's grace. Are you going to go on for the deep things of God? There is a shallow Christianity. Abhor it. Turn away from it. It'll rob you of the very best. And so, it was persistent. I may today, if by God's grace you're spared and the Lord does not come, I may, in the school in Vancouver, be speaking to a young Samuel. You may hear the voice of God. You may hear the call of God in this conference. I may be speaking to somebody. You know what I've learned? When I came out of the Church of Scotland into assembly life, there was many young men and young brethren about. You know this? Some of the men who are powers for God today were nobodies. Not known. Nothing. But God spoke and they responded to the call of God. And I may be speaking today to some Samuel, unknown, unheard of, unheralded. You may have an assembly background you may not have. That is of no consequence. This thing isn't in the blood. And maybe today God is saying, Samuel, Samuel. It was persistent. I tell you,
When God puts his hand on you, he will not let go. But I want you to notice, please, that the word of God was not only precious and personal and persistent, but in the life of Samuel it was productive. Here was the productive application of the word of the Lord to this man, Samuel. And we learn this, that Samuel grew and the Lord was with him. And there was produced in Samuel, by his growing closeness to Jehovah, there was produced in him the features that would make him an outstanding leader amongst God's people. Young brethren and sisters, assemblies need you. The work of God needs you. Not as a shallow individual, frittering about on the edges, concerned with all the modern things that go around now. And I presume I'm as modern as anybody. I'm not a dinosaur, but I tell you this. You can go in for all the cheap tinsel toys of making Christianity attractive in a worldly way, or you can go in for working out in your life scriptural principles and letting God work. And so you see, it was productive in the life of this man. Let me say again, am I speaking to Samuel? You say, brother, you've forgotten me, I'm a sister. Am I speaking to Hannah? Hannah. Near the village of, or near the town of Glasgow, many, many years ago, an evangelist turned up with a tent. He pitched his tent, and the brethren said, you're in the wrong place. You should be in the great city of Glasgow. You shouldn't be away out here. The brother considered and says, no, I'm staying where I am. After 8 or 9 weeks of gospel meetings, or a little more, we used to do that in Scotland. After all these weeks of gospel meetings, the brethren said, well, we're right, it should have been Scotland. It should have been Glasgow. Because there was only a wee lassie of 15 get saved. A wee lassie of 15. A nobody. A serving girl. Left school at 14 in these days. I don't know how many sons she had, but they all grew to be men of God. And some of them are still preaching Christ and doing a work for God 70, almost 80 years after the tent was pitched. I may be speaking to a Hannah. I may be speaking to a Samuel. I'm asking you to be serious about this conference. This is not an entertainment weekend. This is the most serious business in which you'll ever be involved. So I see the consecration of Samuel. But I want to say a little bit more about the call of Samuel. You say, well, you've dealt with that. No, I want to say a little bit more about the call of Samuel. And so you see, on that night, little did Samuel realize that the word of God would come to him that night. I want you to see, first of all, please, that Samuel was not aware of who was speaking. Is that not a remarkable fact? He thought it was Eli, so he ran to Eli. And after the third visit to Eli, Eli realized and said, Samuel, when you hear the call again, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And then when the call came, Samuel, Samuel, he said, speak, for thy servant heareth. He left out the one little word, Lord. You say, he was honest. He was honest. God was speaking and he didn't realize it. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody today in this conference and God has been speaking and you fail to realize it. You don't understand. It's the call of God. Now listen, don't invent circumstances. When I speak about the call of God, you say, called to where? Is it to be Scotland or Japan or India? No, I'm just speaking today of the call to devoted consecration. He didn't realize it. circumstances we might say have worked out for thy work out. Or I tell you, my brother, my sister, drive yourself into the presence of God and seek to read life circumstances in the sanctuary. Here he doesn't even realize it, but I want you to see that whether he realized it or not, God's kept speaking. There was divine compassion on the ignorance of the young boy, but still God spoke. And it may be today that you look back and you say, I didn't realize that was the hand of God in my life. It's my burden today to speak about this. And so you see, here he was. I want you to notice that about the call. But I want you to notice, please, a second thing about the call of God. A very remarkable thing. You'll say, well, it's all very well for Samuel, you see. Some folks say funny things. I remember speaking in a town near my home, and I was speaking on 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and 2. And a brother said to me at the end, a young brother, I said, it was all right for Paul. He didn't have the problems we've got nowadays. I said, brother, how often have you been shipwrecked? How often have you been imprisoned? How often have you been had the rod over your back? He says, what are you talking about? I says, I'm only proving that you've never read the Bible. You know, that's all I'm proving. You've never read the Bible. To make an inane, stupid statement like that. I think I was fairly fair saying that to him. You see, we might say today, it was all right for Samuel. Was it? Listen, young brother, young sister, I want to say this. You look at men, some who preach, some who don't. But devoted men and women who have given their life for God. And you say this, it only worked out because of the circumstance. That was just the way life worked out for them. I tell you this. Those who are devoted to the Master, every single one of them came to the crossroads of Christian life and had to make up their mind, was it to be spiritual or carnal? Was it to be God's will or my will? They stood at the crossroads of life after the crossroad of salvation. And I challenge you, and I'm saying this, do not make salvation's day the last day that you do business with God in your own life. Salvation's day is the beginning, not the end. And sad and shame on me if I look back and the last time I see the hand of God is the day I accepted the grace of God in salvation. Samuel, yes, a remarkable man. But you see, well, it was all right for him, you see, because, well, have you never read 1 Samuel 3? After all, the Lord stands. You notice the third time, the Lord came and stood. Coming closer now. The Lord came and stood. And you say, well, you see, the Lord told him that he would lead Israel to a mighty victory. And no. Hush your feet. No. The Lord never said that at all. You know what the Lord said? The Lord told them that the house of Eli would be judged. Now read that. The Lord didn't say, you will be the next judge. The Lord simply told them that the house of Eli would be judged. It was judged in three ways, as you probably know, by the death of Hophni and Phinehas. And then it was judged by the murder of the priest at Nob in chapter 22. And then it was judged by the banishment of Abiathar in 1 Kings 2. The house of Eli was judged. Young brother, young sister, what was the Lord doing with Samuel? He was presenting to him the sad state of the current situation. And he was leaving Samuel to rise to that. Young brother, young sister, we've heard about the gospel. The world desperately needs the gospel. But listen, the gospel platform is not just for the novice or some idea that the deeper you get to know the Bible, you leave the gospel behind and you go to something else. I don't know where it came from. It's not in the Bible. The gospel preacher should know his book inside out. After all, you're coming face to face with folks who know nothing. But listen, there is a situation in Christian and assembly circles that needs men and women of God. And as you look around, you see the situation. And the challenge today is, will you rise to it? Have the brethren who've come here wasted their time? Are you going to rise to the challenge of the year 2000? The challenge for scriptural order and for godly behavior, and the challenge to become a man or a woman of God. This man simply has the situation presented to him. It's laid before him, just as a youth. And it's left to see if, when the call of God comes, will he now rise to the challenge? You say, where do I start? I was down in England for some meetings and I noticed a couple sitting right at the back of the hall at every meeting, and they never seemed to do anything, take part in anything. I became intrigued. I like to ask questions. I said, brother, why are you a passenger in here? Why are you wasting your time? He said, well, you see, what we're doing, my wife and I have covenanted that until we know what the Lord wants us to do, we'll sit and wait. I said, how long have you been waiting? He said, about 5 years. I said, well, I've got news for you. You're going to be waiting, sitting there till the Lord takes you home to glory. If you want to start rising to the challenge, start in your local assembly, work in the assembly, throw yourself into the assembly and get involved with nothing else. That's the only organization you want to get involved with. And I apologize, it's not an organization. That's a slip of the tongue. Even preachers make mistakes. But you know what I mean. I speak as unto wise men, judge ye what I say. The assembly is the only thing to be involved. Put your back into it, work at it, strive at it. And I tell you this, I hear around, I'm not speaking about here, criticism of assembly. I hear what's wrong. I hear what's this. I came from outside. I praise God for them and thank God for the day I came in and thank God for the first Lord's Day in October 1960 when I broke bread. And I praise God for every Lord's Day since and for all that God has given in assembly fellowship. My brethren, rejoice in it. Don't criticize it. As I say, get involved in nothing else. Pour yourself into it. Start just where you are. Because that's where God has put you. I have only 2 or 3 minutes. And so the call of the man. He hears the call of God. Do you notice his reaction to call? You say, preacher, you're saying I have to go out and I have to go to the brethren and I have to say, well, here I'm ready. When can I speak at my first conference? And when can I have my first series of gospel meeting? No. You've got the wrong end of the stick. Listen to the reaction of Samuel to the call of God. Threefold. First of all, his reaction was sober. He continued to do the work he was doing before God called. He just carries on with his work. So you go right back to your assembly and carry on with your work, but just do it with greater fervor. And just do it with greater interest in the scriptures. He carried on. It was a sober response. Not only was it sober, it was a seemly response. He still shows to Eli the respect that should be given to the high priest. Young brethren and sisters should not be rebels. Throwing off that, saying, well, you know, I would do it different. I would do this. Now, I know it's easy to criticize overseeing brethren. Keep your mouth shut, get your head down and go on with the work. That's as good. That's not a verse in the Bible, but it's as good advice as I can give anyway. You know? Now, his reaction was seemly, and his reaction was sober, but I tell you this, his reaction was settled. Because the growth continued. And did I say yesterday, growth in the things of God should not be mushrooms. Let me say what I said just to you. You said you're repeating them, so I am, and I mean to. There's something wrong with a teenager who pretends he's 70, and there's something wrong with a 70-year-old who pretends he's 17. You know, sometimes I've seen folks get into their retired age and then they start dressing as if they were 15 and a half, and all that kind of thing. Doesn't it change the fact you're 70, my brother? But the growth was settled, in other words. You know what we say? He wasn't the man he used to be. Well, I hope we're not. We usually mean that in a bad sense, you know. I shouldn't be the man that I was the last time I was here. You shouldn't be the sister you were 3 years ago. We should be more like the master than we were then. And his growth was settled. Now, lastly, I say, be thou an example of the believers. Timothy, you're young. Well, they say he was about 40. I said to you somebody the other night, I remember a brother coming to our assembly many years ago when we were just married, and he said, Timothy was a young man, he was 40, and my wife and I walked down the road and said, what kind of dinosaur is that? 40, and he's a young man, I tell you. Well, I'll say now what I said then. 40's very, very young. As a matter of fact, I had a whole bundle of years on, and it's still very, very young. But here's a young man, and I want you to notice, please, the Lord was with him. It's a joy to overseeing brethren, to see young brethren and sisters, and it's clear that the Lord's with them. My brother, my sister, if you have that, prize that above everything, because the devil will try to break that fellowship with the Master. And make sure, as was said yesterday, that 5 minutes of madness doesn't destroy your testimony for God. The Lord was with him. But I want you to notice, all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that he was established. He was faithful. Yes, you see, he hasn't to go to the brethren. He hasn't to go to the brethren and say, I want you to recognize that I'm the best gospel preacher in British Columbia. If you've got to do that, don't bother your head. But the brethren see that this young brother has about him a godliness that gives them the confidence to say, it's about time he was taking a public place. The sister who seemed to be godly, and a godliness that will never put her in the platform, but will give them confidence that she's growing for God and can help in those ways that Scripture teaches. Sisters must help him. I'll leave time for another brother. I'm saying to you today, I may be speaking to a Samuel. I may be speaking to a Hannah. I may be speaking to young people who are going to dissipate their life, stay in the assembly, and do nothing for God. I pray before God that is not the case. And I pray I'm speaking to young brethren and sisters who will lift up the challenge. And when he calls, will say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.